All right, well, let's read 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 12. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us." Let me pray for us this evening. Father, we come before you, Lord, and those words that you would abide in us, Lord, it's just so amazing. And Lord, we thank you for being the God that you are, Lord. And we come this evening, Lord God, because we know that life is found in your words, Lord. Not only you have the words of life. And so here we are, Lord. I pray that we would receive your word with meekness, Lord, and that we would allow you to change us by your word and by your spirit, Lord. We thank you. May you be glorified this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So he starts off by saying, "Let us love one another." And sometimes I feel that it's so easy for us to go right over these words, you know, without even taking time to dwell upon the immense gravity behind them. Love one another. And maybe it's due to the repetitiveness of John's letter about this subject. And it would be so easy for us to go on reading, except that just a few verses later, John reveals to us what this love ought to look like, right? It ought to look like that selfless, sacrificial, painful, and messy love that Jesus showed to the world when he substituted his perfect and righteous life and died for the sin that we committed. That's amazing, and that's so heavy that we ought to love in that way. I still remember the day when the Lord opened my eyes to the weight of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Right there it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." That's huge. I noticed that it said loved, as in past tense, as in regarding a single moment in history, and that moment was when Jesus died for the church. And it hit me hard because what state was the church in when Christ died for us? Well, we were sinners, right? We were enemies. We were rejecting him. We were hostile to his ways. And he loved us. And then it says that I'm supposed to love my wife in that same manner. I realized that God wanted me to give my love unconditionally to my wife, even when she is hostile to me, even when she's mocking me in front of my friends, even when she's not respecting or honoring me as her husband, that I'm supposed to give my all for her, even when she is at her very worst toward me, right? It's impossible. How can I do that? And then, if that wasn't hard enough, then the Lord opened my eyes to another verse in 1 John 3:16, where it says, "By this we know love, because Jesus laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So not only does God want me to give myself selflessly to my wife when she's hostile and disrespectful and hurtful, but he wants me to love this way even for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, I might be able to do it for my wife because she's beautiful, you know, and I get love in return, but for me to do that for my brothers and sisters in Christ, some of you guys are beautiful, but some of you guys. But we are supposed to love this way. My eyes were open and realizing that it's humanly impossible to do that. And yet we know that if we would simply love this way, that the Bible promises that our lives would be blessed, that our marriages would be great, that our kids would grow up knowing they were selflessly loved, and the world around us would look at us and they'd want to know what our secret is. But I find that even we as Christians, we ask the same question. What is the secret? What is the secret to have into having this selfless love, into having a great marriage, to raising up healthy, loving kids? What is the secret? And I believe that the Word of God declares to us that the secret is an understanding that this kind of love only comes from God Himself. An understanding that this kind of love only comes from God Himself. And so tonight, I would like for us to dive into the love of God. And I want to speak on three main areas that I believe John shows to us. The love of God received, the love of God manifested, and the love of God perfected. So if you are taking notes, pretty simple. The love of God received, the love of God manifested, the love of God perfected. Let's look at the love of God received. It says in verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." And what it means is that love comes out of God, that God is the ultimate source of love, that you cannot attain it on your own. I mean, sure, we can see trickles of love in the world. For instance, the heart of a mother for her child, right? But compared to the love of God, it's like comparing the light from a flashlight to the light of the sun. And even the love that she has is only because we were made after the image of God, tainted by sin. But that's the only reason why we even have just even a glimpse of that kind of love. But if we were to compare it again, as I said before, it would be like comparing the light from a flashlight to the light of the sun. And when we try to rely on our own love to selflessly love others, it's like trying to fill the Grand Canyon with a bucket of water. I mean, it feels just that way. It's useless. And it's so draining. Because you guys have done it, I'm sure. I've done it. We try to love others this way with our own love, trying to do it on our own. And it's so draining. Because you're that bucket that just got drained. And then you look at the Grand Canyon and realize, I got a long way to go. It can become so draining. And I think what we need to realize is that we are a barren wasteland ourselves in need of the love of God. That we need the love of God. How can we love others when we are desperately in need of love ourselves? And so in order to love others, we need to be filled with the love of God ourselves. In order to love others, we need to be filled with the love of God. But the Word of God reveals to us, right here in this passage, requirements in attaining God's love within us. And that's why he says in verse 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God," number one, "and knows God," number two. So I see that there are two requirements for those who desire to be filled with the love of God. You must be born of God, and you must know God. They might sound similar, but they're different. Because to be born of God, well, there's certain countries in Africa where people define themselves by their religion at birth. So if your parents are Christian, when you are born, you become, you know, in their eyes, you become a Christian right off the bat. You're a Christian, you get a Christian name, and you're a Christian. And you'll be persecuted just like a Christian, even though you don't go to church, even though you don't know Jesus, you'll be persecuted just like a Christian would. And so when we are there, we address them by saying, "Are you a Christian?" And they would say, "Yes." And then we'd say, "Are you born again?" And at that, many of them will say, "No." It's really, they're supposed to be the same, but they'll say no. And then we'll say, Well, do you know that Jesus said in John 3:3 that unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God? And at that, they'll say, what does it mean? What does that mean to be born again? To be born again, it means that you have been born of the Holy Spirit or been born of God. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, you become regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit and you become a new creation. You become able to walk in newness of life. Because you once lived for sin in your sinful nature, but now you are able to live for God in this new godly nature that's given to you by God. You're born again. And so requirement number one, in order to be filled with God's love, is that we must, by faith, putting our trust in Jesus Christ, be born again or being born of God. We must become a new creation. We must be given this new godly nature that is given to us in Christ Jesus. But now, Christian, once we've done that, because I believe most of us have in this room, second part, it says the second requirement is to know God. And it means to experientially know God. It means to have a daily relationship with God that is personal and intimate. You see, we started off as barren wastelands, unable to hold the love of God, but then we become born again. We are transformed into vessels that are able to hold the love of God. But those vessels, if they are to ever pour out, they must be filled up. As I said before, how can you selflessly love others when you are in need of love yourself? And that's the reason why we sin, you know, because we start looking to satisfy those longings with something other than God's love. And then we become unsatisfied. And we get grumpy and selfish, and we start saying things like, what about me? Or, why do I always have to do that? Right? And it becomes about me, me, me. We become needy, really. Needy for the adoration of others. And when we don't get what we want, we get upset. And then we become more needy. And we go and find more sin. And on the cycle goes. And all of this because simply we're looking for love in all the wrong places. That's why. But when we take the time to daily come before God and build a relationship with Him, we become filled with God's love ourselves. And when we become filled with God's love, we are no longer needy. We become satisfied in Him. And when we become satisfied in God's love alone, we don't need the adoration of our wives or our husbands anymore. We don't need the adoration of others. Instead of needing them, we simply just get to enjoy them. Instead of needing, we get to enjoy. Instead of expecting them to please us, which, by the way, will never happen if we're not filled with the love of God, we are satisfied and pleased by God. And instead of wanting, wanting, and wanting, we are able to give, give, and give. Because it's the love of God that has filled us. But again, this is only found by those who are faithful and disciplined in having a daily relationship with Jesus. And so it's necessary that if we are to selflessly love others, guys, we must not only be born again, but we must be practicing and growing in a personal and loving relationship with Jesus daily. In fact, this daily relationship with Jesus is so necessary that John goes on to say in verse 8, he says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And so we find that love is not an option, but a command for believers. And what he's saying is, if you know God, then you will love others with God's love, because that is what naturally happens to those who are filled with the love of God. But if you do not know God, well, then you cannot love with God's love, because you're still empty, you're still needy, you're still unsatisfied. You're in need of God's love. You need to be born again and then come into that relationship with Him that He might fill you and satisfy you. So John reveals to us the love of God. To be received, we must be born again, and we must continue in this relationship daily with Jesus, this personal and intimate relationship with Him. Now let's look at the love of God manifested or revealed. In verse 9 it says, "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And so, guys, we find that the love of God is manifested or revealed to us through this one act of God sending His Son to save us. That's how it's truly manifested to us. But through this one act, His love was really manifested in three ways toward us. And that is that His love was manifested for us, His love was manifested inside us, and His love was also manifested or is manifested through us. And those are all important. And I want to look at each three of them: for us, inside us, and through us. For us is beautiful. It's that romantic or that personal and intimate relationship that we can have with God, because it was God did all this because God loves you personally. And that's just awesome in itself, that God loves you personally, and so He personally expressed His love for you by giving up His only beloved Son for you. Right? "We committed treachery against the King of the universe by sinning against Him. His wrath was abiding on each of our heads. We were destined by our own actions to be separated eternally from God. And not only that, but as we rejected our God by choosing to follow our own self-will, we were living this life empty, barren, needy, and unsatisfied. Our lives became filled with confusion and chaos. But God, because of His great love with which He loved us, He gave His Son as an offering for the sins we committed, because He loved us. And Jesus became our propitiation, which means that He appeased the wrath of God for us. He pleased the Father with His offering of Himself. And basically, through His death, Jesus removed God's wrath from our heads forever, and through His life as we live in Christ, God's love is lavishly poured out into our hearts forevermore. We don't have to be afraid that God will ever be angry with us again as Christians, because His wrath was taken away from us through Jesus Christ. And now we can always rest and know that God is pouring His love upon us, pouring His favor upon us, pouring the riches of His grace, the riches of His kindness into our lives, because He loves us so. And there's no reason for it. We don't deserve it. We've done nothing to earn it, but He loves us so. And I love it because it's because Christ died for us that we are now able to have a relationship with God, and we are able to become satisfied in that relationship by being filled with God's love. And again, as I said before, when the love of God satisfies you, you quit looking for love in all the wrong places. And because you are satisfied by God's love, you don't need the love of others. And now you're able to love others without demanding or expecting anything in return. See, God wants to satisfy us. He wants us to live in fullness of joy. He wants us to be assured of our salvation. He wants us to reign with Christ, not just in the next life, but in this life as well. And all that because He loves us. Guys, God's love was manifested for us, for you. But not just for us, but also inside us. Because this one act of God's love was not just an expression of His love toward us, or for us, but it is also life transforming in itself. This love is life transforming. Because by this single act of God, we are transformed from the old to the new. We are spiritually transformed into vessels that can be filled with the love of God. And He changes our desires as well. And no longer do we want to live for ourselves, but we want to live for God. We start to hate that selfish old lifestyle where we were led by our self-gratifications. Instead, our desires change, and we start wanting to love others. We start wanting to bless others. And the more we are filled with the love of God, the more we want to pour out that love of God into our marriages, into our children, into our church, into our community. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, it says this. It says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." Before, it was impossible to love someone selflessly without expecting anything in return. But now, the love of God has not only satisfied us, but the love of God has transformed us. And with man, it is impossible, but guys, with God, all things are possible. And we get to see, we get to experience what it's like to love others without demanding or expecting anything in return. That's amazing to me. As I'm starting to love my enemies, I'm just blessed that I get to even do that. And I know, and we know that it's only from God. It's a miracle. It's divine. It's something that is humanly impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And that's the love of God manifested inside us. It transforms us. So not only does He satisfy us, and not only does He transform us, but there's a purpose for all that, because God's love is to be manifested through us as well. The love of God is an example of how we ought to love one another. At the same time, it's sort of a measuring stick, if you will. Since loving others only comes from an overflow of being filled with God's love ourselves, then loving others is sort of like that oil stick that tells you whether you're getting enough time with Jesus. And so it's good, because then when you find yourself, you know, hasty to get angry, or you find yourself just, you know, quick-tempered, then you know it's not because of the other person, really. It's simply because of us, you know? We haven't got enough time with Jesus. We haven't been filled with God's love ourselves. And when we think about loving our wives, for instance, husbands, right, in this selfless, unconditional way, it used to be easy to say, well, she doesn't respect me, or she mocks me, and I could just feel hostility when I'm around her, right? We used to be able to say these things. So I can't love her. She's like my enemy, you know? These are the things that we hear, things that we say ourselves. And also, wives, when you think about loving your husbands, you think, well, it's impossible to love him without conditions. Well, I'll give him respect once he earns respect from me. He never will. But see, guys, we just learned that the truth of God's word is that we don't need each other's adoration or respect. We don't need it. What we need is God's love to satisfy our longings. I know this is, it's so hard to wrap our minds around it, to think that we are going to go home right now and love our wives, and you women are going to love your husbands, no matter what their response is, no matter, you know, what they do, we're going to selflessly and unconditionally love them. But guys, again, remember that it's not our love, but it's God's love in us that will get us to do this, you know? And the problem was never them. It's always been us. If we are not faithful in our daily relationship with God, then we will be needy, we're going to be unsatisfied, and there's nothing that your husband can do, there's nothing that our wives can do that can satisfy us, because we're in need of God's love. It's no longer impossible, though, guys, because God has transformed us and poured His own love into us. And no longer can we base our love on the other person, because it's not about them. It's about whether we are getting filled with God's love in a daily relationship with Him. And so with that, guys, I say that, well, let us get filled with God's love, right? Let's get filled with God's love. Let's let God's love overflow and pour out to all those around us. Let's do that. And that's why John says in verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." I mean, this is great love that is being poured out on us. And I think if we would take the time to meditate on it, to remember it, to dwell on it, it would stir in us, as the Bible says, that we ought to stir one another up to love and good works. It would stir in us this desire to allow God's love to be poured, to overflow in us, and to be poured out to all those around us. And why wouldn't we? Because God's love is there for us. God's love will satisfy us. Think about that. We won't need anything else. God's love alone will satisfy us and will bless our marriages, our children, and all those around us. And yes, I know it's selfless and sacrificial, and yes, it's hard and painful, but God fills us with joy as we do it. And really, think about it. When we live life selfishly, is it really that grand? Is it really that impressive? I know when I live life selfishly, I cause all kinds of chaos and destruction and confusion in my life. It's not worth it. But God's love satisfies us. God's love transforms us. And God's love pours out of us to others. And guys, that is the purpose of God's love. To satisfy us, to transform us, and then to pour out of us to others. That's the purpose of His love. That's what we call the love of God perfected in us. And so He says in verse 12, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us." And again, as I said before, it means that the purpose of God's love has been accomplished in you. Not that you're going to be perfect at it. It's a process, you know. We're allowing God to work in us, and that's the great thing, guys, is that as we walk this tightrope, by the power of the Holy Spirit, if we do fall, there is this net of grace, not so that we can stay in the net of grace, but that's so that we can pop back up and keep walking again. So really, it's a win-win. But this is the purpose of God. God always intended for His love to satisfy the heart, to transform the heart, and then to pour out of the heart to others. This is the big deal. This is the purpose for Jesus dying on the cross, to change lives that change lives. Because God so loves us. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "Jesus gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works." Because the world cannot see God. It says no one has seen God at any time, right? But what they can see is the reflection of God's love in our lives. The world can see that. I don't know if you guys saw the moon last night. But it was beautiful. I think it was a full moon. It was near there, if it wasn't. but it was beautiful. And it's amazing to me, every time I see it, that the moon has no light of itself. That's amazing to me. I mean, the moon is just a dark, cold, barren wasteland. There is no light there. But when the moon reflects the light of the sun, it's a glorious sight. We stare at the moon, and even though the moon by itself is just cold and dead, yet when the sun shines upon it, man, it's glorious, right? And when we reflect the love of God, what a glorious sight it is, guys, in our marriages, as we love our wives and husbands, as we love our children, as we love the brethren, with this kind of unconditional, selfless love that only comes from God Himself. And the world will look on and they'll say, "What is your secret? I want to have what you have. What is it?" And then we'll get to say to them, "It's the love of God. It's the love of God." I want to ask Pastor Tim to come up and close us in one last song, but as we do, I just want to read this passage again in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us." Let's pray. Father, we come before You this evening, Lord God, and we do desire for this to take place. We know it is taking place, Lord, but we just pray that we would surrender, that we would yield, that we would give in to this work that You are doing within each and every one of us, Lord. And that on this hill, Lord God, that this church and these people here, Lord, that we would be known, out of all things, that we would be known as a people that have the love of God. And Lord, teach us, Lord God, that when we do find ourselves greedy or unsatisfied, pushy, that we'd realize that we just need to get before You, that we need to get filled with You, and that we would take that time to allow Your love to fill us, that it might pour over to all those around us. Lord, we thank You for Your mighty and great love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.